like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
On the recording now? Perfect. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the SCI Working Group meeting on Tuesday, 8th of October, 2013. On the call today, we have James Bladel, Greg Shatton, Angie Graves, Ron Andruff, Wolf Ulrich Noben, Mikey O'Connor, Avery Doria, Amar Elsad, Jennifer Wolf. We have no apologies so far, as I have noted. I will check this right away. I'm sorry, we have, as apologies, Marie-Laure Lemineur, Nuno Garcia, and from staff we have Julie Headland, Lars Hoffman, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you very much, Julia. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everyone, and nice to see you all on the call. Thank you for making the time. We have a nice agenda today, and then we have a meeting coming up in Buenos Aires shortly, so I'm looking forward to actually getting a chance to see everyone and have an opportunity to get to know new members more closely. So on the first item we have is the statements of interest. And the question is if anyone has made any changes to their SOIs in the last period that we should be aware of. Hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item number 3, approval of the agenda. The agenda has been published on the wiki as well as sent out to all of us. We're looking at the resubmission of a motion on the screen right now, but does anyone have any issues with regard to the agenda? And if so, please bring that to the floor now. Hearing none, thank you very much. I would just make a note, Mikey O'Connor has been gracious to advise Anne Aikman-Selete has also sent her regrets for not being able to attend the meeting, but Greg Chatan is filling in for her, so I'm sure we'll hear from Greg. And actually, apropos, we move on to the item number 4, which is resubmitting of a motion. And this is an item that has been particularly driven by IPC. And so I understand Anne and her notes to the list that there was a information submitted back to the IPC, and that hopefully they have responded in some fashion. And perhaps I could look to Greg to fill us in a little bit on that. Hopefully there's some information and be helpful for the committee. Please, Greg.
Hi, this is Greg Shatton. Yes, we were able to, Ann and I were able to have to discuss this matter with the IPC leadership and on the IPC general call. We have feedback from the IPC. You know, with regard to the language that is currently posted here, the language that the IPC would like to suggest, and I'm sorry this was not sent around before the meeting, but with Ann's travel schedule and the call being just before this, that wasn't possible, or at least it wasn't likely, and it didn't happen. The suggestion is that number 3 should read, upon the second resubmission of a motion, i.e. the third time the same motion comes before the council, require a seconder of the motion from each house as a prerequisite for placing the resubmitted motion on the consent agenda. So that is the first of two suggested language edits. The other is that if material changes have been made to the text of a motion, that motion will not be considered a resubmitted motion. And whether or not a change in text is material would be determined by the GNSO chair. GNSO Council Chair would be our suggestion on that point.
Thank you, Greg. Is there some more that you'd like to add to that, or can we start to dig into this one?
I guess I would say, as a general matter, first, I know that I'm coming late to this issue, though I've tried to read up on the on the listservs and the like, so that I'm not completely just kind of cruising in here at the last moment. So I've tried to educate myself to some extent. The other thing I would note that, coming at the issue somewhat fresh, I decided to take a look at how this is dealt with in Robert's Rules of Order, which, at least in the U.S., would be the primary source for this sort of parliamentary procedure. And I note that Robert's Rules of Order contemplates that motions can be freely renewed at subsequent meetings of the same body. As a general matter, they cannot be renewed at the same meeting of that body, but there are Robert's Rules of Order contemplates that there should not be impediments in front of resubmitting a motion that was not that was voted on but not adopted by a body. So I think that's at least to my mind, and I think the IPC generally supports the idea that there shouldn't be impediments, but in the interest of trying to find a position where we can all have consensus, is willing to agree to these points as expressed earlier by me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. Very, very helpful. I see Aubrey has her hand, but I'd like to ask one quick question before I turn to Aubrey. And you noted in your explanation on point number three that it would require a seconder of the motion on the third introduction. So I'm a little bit confused in so much as I understood we would have, so a motion is brought to the table. It does not go forward because of some confusion, and then it's reintroduced. How did you see that? Where's the third introduction? If you could help me with that.
Basically, let's say we have a motion that is brought up and it's voted on and it's not adopted, and there's no mention here of the reason for the adoption, or lack of adoption. And while, point number one mentions that there should be a reason, confusion, I guess, could be one of the reasons, but that's not by any means exclusive. The first time that the motion was renewed, it would be renewed without any special requirements with regard to a seconder from the opposite house. Only if it was renewed for a second time, in other words, the third time that the motion was being put in front of the body, at that point it would require a seconder from the opposite house.
Very good. Thank you for that. Mikey has asked in the list if you would mind posting the language to the chat. I think that would be very helpful for all of us. It's been an excellent contribution. Let me turn to the list. Aubrey and then James. Aubrey, please.
Okay, thank you. Aubrey speaking. I actually think this is a very good proposal. I think going back to Robert's rules, anytime there's an open question or doubt, even though we don't have to take that as the way, I think is always wise because those are always really well thought out and have lots of experience behind them. I think that this is a good proposal. I do agree that. I think the things, as in Robert's, if I understand correctly, shouldn't be brought up in the same meeting. It should always be a subsequent meeting and such. I don't know that we're limiting that. I don't think we necessarily need to do that. But I other than wanting to see the language and see something I didn't see in the hearing, I think it's a great proposal. Thanks.
And the language is now posted in the chat.
Oh, cool. Too late.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, Aubrey. Very valuable comment. James, please.
Thank you, James Blagle, for the transcript. And I also believe that this is a lot of progress in the right direction towards preventing what we might call motion spam and arresting that before that gets a chance to get rolling. I did, however, have a question, and I thought that perhaps it's just not right in front of my nose, so I don't see it, but I thought that there was some boundary on the resubmission, some sort of time frame after which a motion would also be considered not a resubmission, but a new motion. And I'm wondering if that is something that we also want to consider as part, not just material changes, but if something is, let's say, a year old or 2 years old or 5 years old, that, you know, we no longer call it a resubmission. And I wonder if it's worthwhile to see if we could circle back and capture that, or if we should just move on without it.
That's a good point, James. We've always viewed this, from my point of view in any case, as something that is an immediate action. Something comes up in this meeting, it has to be represented at the next meeting, and then there's some, you know, follow-on action within two or three meetings from the first motion presentation. So it was, that's not a bad idea to include that from my point of view. Others on the committee have some thoughts towards that? James, perhaps would you think about? Oh, I see Greg's hands come up. Please, Greg, go ahead.
I'd say I would also agree with that. That there's some point at which a motion kind of loses its, you know, a motion can be new again after a period of time. It would not be considered renewed or resubmitted.
So, thank you, Greg. So I think that from my point, as I say, that feels right. Aubrey commented on it, others, that we're moving in the right direction on this. I wonder, Greg, could we look to you to add in to your most recent comments this idea of the time limit before it becomes a new motion? And if you could put that back to the list, that would be very helpful. And when we get to Buenos Aires, we can look really closely at this with all of our members in attendance, or as many as we can, and see if we can nail this one down. I think that it's been an excellent exercise in thinking through all of the various options. Mikey makes a note in the comment list in the chat channel that the time limit is a separate bullet, and I'm inclined to agree with that, to make it very clear. So, Greg, is your hand still up, or would you?
Yes, my hand. It's a new hand. First, I agree with Mikey that you know, this should be a separate bullet point, and I was wondering if there are any thoughts of the group as to how long a time frame there should be before a motion is new again. You know, any particular number of meetings or the like. And I think the most conservative, by which I mean the most restrictive view I could possibly imagine, is saying that it would be new in a subsequent session of the GNSO, you know, when new people are seated. But I think that's probably overkill. I would, you know, suggest perhaps 6 months as a reasonable number. I might suggest a shorter number as an unreasonable number, but I'll suggest a reasonable number to be reasonable.
Thank you, Greg. Aubrey, please, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, before I heard Greg, I mean, I was going to offer a completely other side perspective on it, that I think it should come up at successive meetings and skip no more than one, possibly two meetings, which means at that point you've ended up 3 months between it being voted down and it not. And because at that point, I really see no issue with introducing a new motion. The real problem that we're trying to meet, and I think in all of this, is a motion has been presented, it failed, and within the 3 weeks, time to restructure a new motion to put it in time for the next meeting, and all of that, yes, you're going to resubmit the same motion with possibly a tweak. I think if you've not talked about it for 3 months, that it has, in other words, if you're bringing it up at every meeting, then I guess it stays alive. But if you skip two or three meetings, I think at that point it gets rather stale, and it should be, you know, reintroduced anew with new arguments and what have you. So I would recommend, if we're going to put in a rule for this, that it be a rule in that no more than N meetings may have passed. Now, my first thought of N was one or two, but, you know, I'm certainly not stuck with that as a notion. But two, N of two, means that we've gone a quarter.
And I think that's actually a fair number. I'm happy with that.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Avery. Avery speaks with authority in so much as she's been the chair of the council, so she really understands exactly what this means in terms of these things rolling over. So thank you for that contribution, Avery. James, I see your hand is raised, please.
Yes, thank you. James speaking. And I just wanted to voice my support for Avery's idea that rather than this being tied to the calendar, it should be a number of subsequent meetings. For example, I think that it's possible that GNSO meetings might go on hiatus if there were some sort of a, if ICANN board or staff were on retreat, or if there were, based on the ICANN meeting schedule or holidays or what have you. So I think it's better to tie it to the number of consecutive meetings than the calendar. I do want to perhaps, and forgive me, Ron, if this is, stepping into your purview here a little bit, but I do really want to ask the group here what specific problem we are trying to not just solve but actually prevent, because, I think if we're trying to prevent, the frequent reintroduction of a motion that continuously fails versus trying to ensure that the door is not closed on motions that have merits but are failing on technicalities, and it's just giving one or two holdouts an opportunity to address their concerns. I'm really trying to figure out what we're trying to do here with this change specifically, because my concern is that we might generate pages and pages of language here and really miss the mark on both counts. So I'm just trying to make sure that we're not creating a mechanism that could either be abused by someone who maybe just wants to tie up council business, or would really just kind of be abused by another someone maybe wanting to slam the door on the possibility that a motion was defeated on a technicality and therefore it can never see the light of day again. I don't know where we're trying to go with this at this point. Thanks.
James, with your experience on the council, I can appreciate where you're coming from. But I also
have zero experience on the council, sir.
Oh, sorry. For some reason, I had assumed you'd been there. But I often see you on the Saturday meetings in the room, so I guess I've confused myself. But in any case, in the interest of time, we will move on. I think your question is very valid. And I think that this is something that, well, let me put it another way. What I'd like to do is I'd like to ask Greg if he could fashion some language along the lines that Avery has described and that he has agreed to and so forth that would be in keeping with where he is at and where the IPC is at with the other elements of this particular issue. And if that can be brought to the list, and we can then discuss more in depth what you've just requested. Why are we doing this? And I think in a very short response, the reason we're doing this was that something occurred within council and there was a gap that the SCI felt should be plugged in some form. And so we've really wrestled with this for quite some time. And I'm hoping that in Buenos Aires we can actually look again at the final, what I hope will be the final language that is suggested by Greg and Anne. And then we can talk about, does this language make sense for this particular issue, or should we park this issue and just watch it for another year to see if it ever happens again, because it was an anomaly when it did happen. Greg, I see your hand is up. James, I'll give you both 2 minutes and then we'll move on. Please go ahead.
This is Greg. I'll be brief. I guess first is just in looking at this, point one is not one that we've discussed today. Obviously, it seems to be somewhat set. But my question about this is, it says to provide a reasoning, I would probably say to provide a reason rather than a full reasoning, to justify the resubmission of the motion. I would want to clarify that, any reason, should be reasonable and that it's not going to be rejected by the chair or by the GNSO council, that somehow the reasoning is insufficient, because that seems to me to leave room for ambiguity and for the possible exercise of politics. And as a general matter, these kinds of parliamentary rules are designed to assist the transaction of business and not to impede the introduction of business before a body such as the GNSO Council. So I may suggest that we clarify that as long as a reason is given, that should be sufficient. I assume hopefully the people are mature enough not to provide frivolous or absurd reasons, but I don't want to overdraft this. But I was concerned that this idea that the reasoning could provide some sort of a nebulous gate that could be shut in the face of a motion. And I think that the solution of having a seconder, if it's coming up repeatedly, is sufficient to keep kind of loser or dilatory motions from being repeatedly introduced. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. James, last word.
So just not to belabor this, I agree that probably we should just move on. I just wanted to point out that I do now remember that particular incident that was the source of this. I didn't want to draw any parallels to that particular case, just to state that we've thought about this so much and discussed it for so long that I think we've now gone well beyond any of that one particular anomaly and now moved into a number of hypothetical scenarios. And I think that we should probably just make sure that we're not going too far down a rabbit hole. So that was all I wanted. I just didn't want to think that that's my memory of that particular anomaly was driving my earlier comment. Thanks.
Well said, sir. Thank you very much for this very fruitful discussion. And I'm happy to see that we're getting this one much more honed down to something, as you've just said, James, that makes sense. So moving on, ladies and gentlemen, we move on now to agenda item number 5, SCI Charter Revision. This morning, I took some time to read through the most recent draft, and I actually recirculated that again, just kind of as a reminder to the members of the committee that we'll be discussing this today and with the hope that they might have a look at the current charter themselves and give some consideration to it. I wonder if Julia can bring it up on the screen for us in the Adobe Connect and replace it to the resubmitting a motion. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Julie. I'm unfortunately not in the Adobe Connect room. I'm actually on a mobile, and I apologize for joining late. Charter is one of the documents in the Adobe Connect room. I don't know if one of the other staff could bring it up. I think it just says Charter, and I think it's the only one in there that says Charter.
This is Lars. Just to let you know that I'm actually on the mobile too. Glenn or Julia, could you do the Adobe room?
And Mikey O'Connor has offered, if you make him a host, he said he can grab it and push it up. So if that's of help to you. For Lars' benefit and for Julie's benefit, we're not getting. Oh, Mikey's just been made a host. So there you go. So Mikey, show us your stuff. Thank you, sir. So thank you, Julie, for loading everything. And Mikey, thank you very much for bringing that on the screen. So as I was saying earlier, I took some time and had a read through and looked at the various elements. Obviously, the one element in terms of the decision-making, we understand that that is with the GNSO Council, and I'm sure there'll be more discussion about that on the list and in Buenos Aires. But in the meantime, looking at the rest of the document, it seems to me we have a much improved and up-to-date charter than we had when we started this exercise. For those who were not part of the committee at that time, we had a lot of language that referred back to working groups from the last GNSO review and implementation process. And those committees now, most of it you'll see in the deleted side of the this document. Those are no longer there, and we have something that's much more fresh and robust, and it takes into account elections for the chair and the vice chair, which we also didn't have going in. So I'd like to open the floor just to have a conversation about what people think is working and not working with this document. And then in Buenos Aires, I'd really like to make this the focal point of our work there. So if I could open the floor now to members to give their thoughts and opinions on this document. This is the proposed revision. It says January 10th on the top, but in fact, it's really the 8th of October document in so much as this is the most current one. So with that, I'd like to open the floor for comments with regard to our charter. I don't want everyone to rush the microphone at once, so... I'm assuming the silence means that we've had a look at this thing and we're feeling that it's a document that fits, or we're looking at this as we've never seen it before. Avery, please, thank you for raising your hand. Your thoughts? Avery, are you stuck on mute?
I was on mute, sorry, and I was actually on double mute, and I kept turning one off, but the other was still on. I'm very confused. My apologies. I took your advice and read it again over lunch, and I was pretty much in favor of approving the changes and moving on.
Thank you, Avery. You and I are on the same page with that one.
Happens.
I know Mike
occasionally.
Yeah. Indeed. Thank you for taking my advice. Very much appreciated. Mikey, I know that you are very serious about charters and you do a lot of work in ICANN. May I turn to you and impose on you to give your thoughts?
Thanks, Ron. This is Mikey. I'm basically exhausted on this one, and so I didn't read it. It's been a long time. It was a long trail. There was so much confusion that the issues that I was trying to raise, I don't have the energy to re-raise them. So I will consider myself a participant through exhaustion.
Thank you, Mikey. Appreciate your candor. Greg, please go ahead.
Since you asked whether anybody had read it as if they had never read it before, the answer is yes, because I never have read it before. And I did read it as a fresh document, but also seeing the significant changes made to the prior draft. And while I don't know what roiling issues were solved or not solved in getting from point A to point B, I would say that the current draft of the document looks like a modern and appropriate document that contemplates the current standing of the committee is kind of separate from being the spawn of various working groups or other committees, and as standing as kind of a committee for the use and the improvement of the GNSO Council's processes and procedures. So, not knowing if there's a Which side I should feel I am on. I am on the side that this looks like a good document at this point.
Thanks, Greg. That's exactly the side you should be on. There really are no sides on the SCI. That's the nice part about this committee, is that we have the time to really drill down and try to get it right. So we have a collegiality that is rare in the ICANN environment. But having said that, thank you for your comments. Fresh eyes are very helpful on these particular things because, as Mikey said, there's a certain amount of exhaustion. You've seen it so many times, and sometimes you can't remember if, in fact, you're reading things into it that were in your mind or actually typed on the page. So thank you for that. I would ask perhaps Wolf Ulrich or Jennifer Wolf, both longer-term members of the SCI, if you have any thoughts with regard to the charter itself. And sorry to put you on the spot, but I know you've both been a party to this for some time, and I'd welcome any comment. Jennifer, please.
Hi, it's Jennifer Wolf. Yes, happy to comment. I mean, I think that it really nicely frames where we are through the conversation and through interjecting council's inputs in terms of the full consensus, and I think that's going to be reviewed. But I think right now it nicely frames the ongoing nature and the purpose of the committee without overthinking it. So I think we should go forward as it's written.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. And Wolf, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Rob. Thanks. Well, I'm fine with the text right now. I have just to add to that, because we talked about in advance to the council meeting on Thursday, so we had a talk on yesterday, with the council leadership, how we can proceed on council with the question of full consensus working methods and so on. So that is going on forward. So staff is going to put together all the questions to provide for the council on Thursday. No, not this Thursday. No, it will be the next council meeting then. A document putting all the aspects we have discussed already so far together for the council to make them aware, the council members, about that, and then this discussion is going to be triggered and going forward. So there was a discussion about whether there is a time pressure about to find a solution about the working method before Buenos Aires, since the SCI we have in mind to close the charter discussion at that time, at the end, let me say, to come up with a new charter. However, it might be the case that in this question, with regard to this question of full consensus or not, or how to work within the ESCI, the council may take some more time. So let's finish, let me say, the discussion about the text right now as far as it is possible. And there is some more time to be discussed on council level about the consensus, that is a separate issue to be discussed in future. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Wolf Ulrich. And I see Amer is also supporting the current draft. Wolf, can I ask you a question? You said there's a meeting taking place shortly, and then I'm wondering what the next meeting is, because the thought that's going through my mind, and if the members of the committee are in agreement, if we could put this to a vote on the list, suggesting that this particular text that we're ready to submit, and with the regard to the paragraph on consensus, if we can just have staff put in square brackets this information to be determined by GNSO Council, and submit that then in advance of Buenos Aires, so that the Council may have opportunity to see what we're saying in terms of our charter, and then maybe that might help stimulate the final elements of it. Does that make sense? Well, let me put it another way. When is the meeting, and does it make sense that we could get a vote online?
Well, let me say the following. We shall have one more council meeting before Buenos Aires. It's, I think, the 30th or 31st of October. And that's a meeting where the item is put to the agenda, the item of full consensus. It is expected, well, to, and we will have a slot in Buenos Aires with regards to the SCI discussion itself, and in the council meeting, we expect, well, to move if the SCI is ready, so with the charter text and with the recommendation for the new charter text, that the council could move that new charter with, let me say, maybe some brackets in the text regarding the consensus issue. So you have to take into consideration, let me say, the deadlines for the motions of Buenos Aires, and that's it.
Thank you, Wolf. So, Aubrey, I see your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Yeah, no, I had a question. And perhaps I was just not understanding well because I was having trouble hearing. The meeting on the 10th is the last meeting before Buenos Aires, correct? And I didn't see a motion on this in the 10th.
No, Aubrey. Go ahead, Wolf.
No, there shall be another meeting on... Glenn, can you help me? It's end of October, isn't it?
There's the 10th of October.
No, end of October.
End of October. Okay, I'm looking at the webpage at the moment, and I see the 10-10, and then I see 2011. So if there is a 10-10, if there isn't one again later in October, it's not yet. Okay, it's not yet on the council meeting list as far as I can tell. I may be wrong. So that's where I was being confused, because I didn't see it on this agenda, and I thought the BA was the next agenda item, because...
Maybe Glenn could clarify that point.
Let me look at the schedule also. That's right, you've got authorities on that can say better.
Yes, so this is Ron. Glenn, could you perhaps respond either verbally or put it into the chat, if in fact there is a 31st... okay, Mikey's saying Glenn may not be monitoring the call.
I'll look at the full calendar to see if it's in.
Will,
this is Julie Headland. There is a council meeting on the 31st of October. I don't know why it's not on the calendar. I'll alert Glenn to that. I don't think she's on today's call.
I actually hadn't looked at the calendar. I was looking at the Confluence list of meetings and motions. I am looking at the calendar now, and indeed it is on the master GNSO calendar. My apologies. I was looking at the motions pages.
No problem, Aubrey. Thank you very much. And so my understanding then is that we have between now and the 31st to finalize or to have an agreement from the committee that we can send this as a draft to the GNSO Council, and then they can take it up either on the 31st of October meeting or put it into the agenda for the Buenos Aires meeting. But it would be very good if we as the SCI could complete this within about a week, and if no one is in strong agreement against that, I would ask that Julie will send out a notice with a clean draft, and in the box that talks, in the paragraph that talks about consensus, that will be in square brackets language that says the GNSO Council will confirm this language, and we can then submit that to them. Aubrey, is your hand up again, or is that from the previous time?
No, it's just being forgetful.
All right. So does anyone have any thoughts about what I've just said, the disagreement, or would like to stand on it? Please. All right. Hearing none, then, Julie, if you can take that as an action item, and we'll send that out to all the members of the committee. We can respond quickly, and I'll chase up anyone who are a little lazy in that regard, and we'll make sure that we get this to Wolf and the GNSO Council post-haste. Today is the 8th. If we can look to a date of the 15th, that would then be 2 weeks before the council meeting. At least that would give them some heads up. So that's what we'll target. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Let's move on now to the working group self-assessment. And Mikey and his working group were working on this, and a number of people had responded. And then there was the question of whether they responded to a questionnaire about the actual assessment itself. And I think we got a little stuck there. But perhaps I can turn to you, Mikey, and get a sense of where that is at this point.
Oh, I was not on mute the whole time. I hope I didn't make embarrassing noises. This is Mikey. The sequence of events was that we sent out a copy of the questionnaire to the working group, and six or eight people filled it in, but only one person actually went off to make comments about the questionnaire process itself. And Ken was looking for a bit more feedback on that and asked that I circle back to the group and have them do that. And at the time when I launched it, we were sort of in a quiet period, not really working too hard. We were sort of making incremental changes to a draft of a report. And so it was a convenient time to do sort of a side project that didn't directly involve the working group. Well, then we got busy. And so I have not gone back to the group because I don't want to put side projects on to a group that's working really hard on its main job right now. And I have to wait until we get done before I can give them extra jobs again. So I don't really have a firm estimate as to when that will happen. I think we're making good progress, but with consensus decision making, one doesn't try to predict when things will get done. So that's sort of where things are at. Does that do it for you, Ron?
Yeah, Mikey, that's excellent. And I've been party to the dialogue between you and Ken as well, so I'm more up to speed on that, and I certainly appreciate what you're saying, is that we've got volunteers who are got their day jobs, they're working diligently on something right now. You don't want to add yet another element. Amr, please take the floor.
Hi, thanks. This is Amr. As someone who's filled out the questionnaire but not provided the feedback, following our last meeting, with our last call on the SCI, I attempted to go and fill that out. So when the time comes on the working group that this be brought up again, I was wondering if it would be possible to sort of go over the actual questionnaire again, because I found it a bit difficult to provide feedback at a later date. So I think it would be more helpful if folks who already filled out the questionnaire could kind of go over it again, maybe fill it out a second time before providing the feedback. I don't know if that's possible or not, but it would be helpful. Thanks.
Thanks, Alan.
This is Mikey. Let me jump in on that. I agree, and let me take an action to write Ken a note with any thoughts like that. Not just yours, Amr, but for sure that one, because it's true, if you filled out a questionnaire a month and a half ago and now you're trying to do feedback, that's tough. And there's got to be a way to put a PDF of the questionnaire somewhere so that you can either review the questionnaire or you can review your own answers. And I'll see if Ken can give us a way to do that.
Thank you, Mikey. And Julie had mentioned there was another working group, and I'm sorry, Julie, I don't have that working group at the tip of my fingers. Perhaps you can help me. There was another working group that was either just finishing or another potential test bed, if you will. Could you expand a little bit on that if I've got this right?
This is Julie Hedlund. I actually, Ron, I don't recall what that group was. I'd have to look back, I think, many meetings to see what that one was. I'll have to check on that for you.
That would be helpful, Julian. I'll tell you why. If in fact we have to, or we don't have to, but I think what's happened is Mikey has a group of some 20-odd members, and about 40% filled that form out, which is quite exceptional, quite frankly, with busy people. And we've got some data back in so much as how the working group worked, but we didn't get how the actual assessment itself worked. So I'm wondering if we might just go out and approach this other working group in the same manner we did with Mikey. In fact, right there, we can go back and look at the document that Mikey submitted to his group. It was, I think, very well written. Here's some information the SCI needs. It would be very helpful if you could help us with that. And if members agree, we would send this out to that working group and have them, and specifically we'll put in bold, large text right up front that we need to get the assessment of the assessment, that's the most important part, and see if we can get that, because at this point we're kind of, we've got a very good self-assessment that we appreciate, but we need to now know how respondents feel about it, and we need to put that to the market. So If we can do that, that would be helpful. So if you wouldn't mind just bringing that name back to that working group back to the list, Julie, or perhaps send it to me and Ken, and we can submit that document to them, that would be helpful. So with that, then, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. That's the new work items from the GNSO Council, and this is voting by email and the possible inclusion of a waiver exception in the GNSO operating procedures. So I had asked staff if they would perhaps tell us how many votes were actually taking place to give us some kind of a benchmark, what voting by email was looking like, and how many votes were taken throughout the year, so that we would then get a sense of what that means. And I wonder if there's anyone from staff that might be able to respond at this point.
Hi, Ron. This is Julie Hedlund. Unfortunately, we have not had a chance to do that, and that is on our list of action items.
All right. Thank you, Julie. One thing that I noted when I was reviewing the charter, we actually asked, I think, four, maybe five specific questions that when someone submits a request to the SCI to address some issue that they're feeling isn't working in practice as it was developed in theory, that there's some specific information that we receive right from the get-go. So, Wolf Ulrich, if you're still on the call, I see you're still in the participant list. I'm wondering if it might be possible for you or whomever had submitted that to the SCI to go back and submit this issue of voting by email in the format that the charter actually describes, so that the members have more background. I think one of the problems we have, or I certainly have, with this particular issue is I just don't have enough detail as to what, why, wherefore, how come, and so forth, so I can actually start to think about it. And I think that's one of the reasons we haven't been able to sink our teeth into this particular topic. So, If that's possible, Wolf-Ulrich, to do, that would be very helpful for us. May I ask you to respond to that, or perhaps shed the light on this particular issue?
Yes, well, it's Wolf-Ulrich speaking. So I'm, you got me here because I'm also just thinking, what was the reason? Where did it come from? At what time it was brought up? And to what reason it came up. So I have really to think about from the council's point of view and to put that question again there and to put together some ideas about that so that we have a more background on that. I'll do that. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated. We're at a point then when we've actually covered all of the seven items of the agenda, and the next one is any other business. So I'm wondering if there's any other information or thoughts people would like to bring to the conversation. If so, now is the moment.
I move we adjourn.
Mikey and Julie both have their hands up. I was
waving. Okay, then I can't.
Yeah, you can't yet. Sorry.
There you go.
This is Julie. I'll defer to Mikey.
I just had a question down in the chat that I wanted to pull up, and that is, given Wolf's situation, and also I may want to submit one from the Thick Who Is working group. Where is this here forum that we're talking about in our charter, and could that be made more visible so that?
In fact, Mikey, it's not a forum per se, but if the if you, it seems how you have your hands on the keyboard, if you can bring up the charter again to the share window, there is about two-thirds way down on the first page. There's a list of how the questions should be submitted.
Yeah, and I guess the point is that, you know, that's fine for
five questions.
That's fine for people who want to drive all the way through our charter, but if we actually are asking for information in a format, then it would be good for us to publish that format so that people know how to do it.
I agree with that, absolutely. And I see Aubrey has a check mark in the box. I think we all agree. And that's the beauty of these five questions, is they really put some framework around it. So that will be very helpful. So for anybody who's on Adobe, you can see almost at the bottom of this page, you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those are the questions that I was speaking to specifically. Julie, please go ahead. Your hand is up.
Thank you. I just wanted to raise a question that I also raised on the list yesterday. For some of the new action items that we have coming up, the voting by email and the possible inclusion of a waiver or exception to the council's rules, and any other issue that the FDI considers, staff have been discussing whether or not it might be useful to have someone volunteer on the SCI to sort of be a leader of a particular issue as we move forward with them. In a way, as we did, I think it was Jay Scott was sort of the leader of a small sub-team when we developed changes to the SCI charter. Just a possible suggestion. And then also staff would be able to help in that effort, as we've done in the past, by providing some background information on a particular, you know, on that particular issue, you know, and current status, and then track the status and so on, just to help the SCI with its work. And then also staff are wondering whether or not the SCI would want to go to a more frequent meeting schedule. Right now we're at one meeting a month, but it seems like sometimes time has to be spent catching people up on what has happened, you know, since the last meeting. When meetings happen only a month apart, you know, happen a month apart, then there might be some time that's needed for catch-up. So I don't know whether or not the SCI would consider going back to perhaps a biweekly schedule. These are just some things that Marika in particular had brought up and we have been discussing, and I thought I would bring them to you.
Thank you, Julie. In fact, I wanted to bring this discussion up with the SCI members at our meeting in Buenos Aires, and perhaps I'll take advantage of this last few minutes then to talk a little bit about that. Most of you should have seen, there were some changes back and forth with regard to having a meeting in Buenos Aires and the time and date. The final time, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Julie, but the final time, as I understand it now, is we're going to meet at 4:30 to 6 o'clock in Buenos Aires. We have a meeting and space available for us. And then that will be after the GNSO Council GAC meeting, or roughly. The GNSO Council GAC meeting may go a little longer, one never knows, but effectively we try to allow for anyone who's in Buenos Aires early to be able to capitalize and go to that GAC GNSO Council working meeting. And then our meeting will take place. We'll have 90 minutes, and in that 90-minute session, I wanted to talk through what our future looks like for the coming year and how we would achieve the workload and the things that we need to do. And I think many of us on the call today are in agreement with Julie. Sometimes so much time passes, we forget what actually happened on certain issues and so forth. And that was one of the reasons I'm thinking staff wants to move the idea along, that we might meet more often. But this is a conversation I'd like to have amongst all of us when we're face-to-face. And so I just wanted to highlight again that the Buenos Aires meeting will be on the Sunday at the day before the opening of the meeting. I don't have that date. I guess I do. That will be the Sunday, the 17th of November, from 4:30 to 6 o'clock. And that will give us an opportunity to spend a little time with each other and talk more about the items that we have on our agenda and how we want to proceed for the coming year. So that is what I wanted to add. I'm wondering, is there any other comments from any other members? I see Mikey's hand is up. This is the last few minutes of our call, so please, anyone who has some thoughts, bring them forward. Mikey.
This is Mikey. I think that there's a slot for constituency meetings that's right on top of that meeting time. And so for any of us who are active in constituencies, I think we're not going to be here. So I see that Julie's saying maybe we can try and move the time, but I think the time that you've described, at least so far, at least I won't be able to make it.
Okay, so I'm seeing also Greg. Thank you very much, Mike. Yeah, I mean, we're all on the same boat in so much as we all come from various constituencies. Greg says the understanding on the IPC was the 4:30 to 6 time, which constituency is not supposed to be encroached. I was not aware that that was the constituency time. I've been consulting the staff on that. Julie, I welcome your comments.
So this is Julie. I was going to put a comment in the chat. What happened was that staff had a cutoff of last week, the 1st of October, that we had to put in a time for the SEI meeting. We had to select a time. And I suggested last Monday that the time of 4:30 to 6 could be a slot that could be changed, but we had to make a request for this meeting or we would not get a meeting at all. So I suggested this time on the list. I did not know at that time that the constituency meetings were set for then. I'm not even sure that that has been set in stone yet. But we can move the time of this meeting. However, if we move it for earlier on Sunday, it will conflict with other GNSO meetings. And if we move it to, say, very early on Monday morning or Tuesday morning or Wednesday, it will conflict with other GNSO meetings. So there will have to be, unfortunately, a trade-off. I'm certainly more than happy to work and to move it to another time. I just need to understand what that time should be.
Yes, Julia. It would have been helpful to know that the constituency meetings were scheduled at the same time, but we certainly appreciate the pressures of getting all these meetings and rooms and so forth. I'm going to come to you in a second, Wolf. I just wondered, Julie, so if we did the meeting from 6 to 7:30 on Sunday, is there any conflict there that you're aware of?
Well, yes, I think there would be conflicts. I have to look at them now. I think that there are various other events that come up that evening as well. But I will coordinate with Glenn and the staff. And I see that, yes, also Wolf Ulrich Knobin is working on this as well, so I'll defer to him at this point.
Wolf, please, you have the floor.
Thanks, Ron. Yes. So as I'm in charge for preparing the GNSO agenda, so I was aware of that. So, and I was thinking about, and we had discussion last wrap-up session with the council how to organize stakeholder groups, constituency meetings on Sunday. There was a general wish to have a separate closed stakeholder group or constituency meetings that day. So that's how it is. You know, I'm really, if I look to the draft schedule right now, there is no other opportunity to shift those stakeholder group meetings to other times. So that's the case. So the council meeting shall, the GNSO meeting, so official GNSO meeting on Sunday will finish at 4 o'clock. Then there's a break, and there is one. So there are two meetings. One is the board GAG meeting after that, so which is also of interest to some of the people, and there is the so-called the closed SG meetings. Let me just add one point. So I remember very early times of the SCI when we started also to coordinate meetings in the annual meetings, and we started then, we came back and we started Saturday morning, early morning at 7:30 or so with that, because that was just before the council or the whole GNSO started. So I wouldn't like to ask for that, but just as a reminder what we did in the past.
Thank you, Wolf. That's helpful. Wolf, can I impose upon you to work with Julie to see if you can come forward with one date and perhaps two that we could put to the list and have members confirm which one they would like to attend. I was pushing to have the meeting as late on the day before the opening of ICANN, Buenos Aires, simply to allow as many people to fly in to join that meeting. But clearly we need to get that meeting scheduled, and so seeing as how you are a scheduler and Julie is as well, if you could together put some ideas to the list, that would be very helpful, and we'll nail one down very quickly. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're now 3 minutes past the hour, and I guess we will now bring this meeting to a close, and I would thank everyone very much for your contribution. It's been excellent to hear all of these points of view, and I think we've moved the ball a little further down the field. So thank you very much for that, and look forward to seeing you in Buenos Aires. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Guy. Thanks.
Thank you all.